please turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. We'll read verses 12 through 17 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for what it means, not just to us, but to this area. Lord, I wonder how dark the Martinsburg and this Quad State area would be without the brightness and the influence of this church and your influence on it. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts so we can go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I realize I'm starting a little later than usual, but we'll get out on time. I promise you that this evening. I want to remind you also this Wednesday night, we'll serve the Lord's Supper. It'll be our way of starting the new year with our hearts pure toward Him, and I think the Lord would appreciate and He'll enjoy that. Tonight, the sermon is entitled, How Will Your Life Be Summarized? How will your life be summarized? In Revelation 2:17 it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. In heaven here, according to this passage of Scripture, somebody is going to be given a new name. Now, probably that new name will be given to a Christian, somebody that's been born again. We are the overcomers. We overcame our pride and submitted ourselves and trusted Jesus Christ as our Saviors. But here, according to this, somebody is getting a new name. I'd not be shocked if God didn't choose to give us new names when we get to heaven. He's going to give us new bodies. He's giving us a new location. That's good. He's giving us a new life when we get to heaven. So many things about heaven will be new. I don't know that this is talking about me and you. I'm real careful with this subject of prophecy. I've watched many people stand up and say, well, I know what that says and I know what that means. It doesn't take long in history to find out they were full of prunes. They didn't know anything about what they were discussing. So I just know this. Somebody's getting a new name in heaven. Because it says right here, they're getting a new name in heaven. I tend to believe that this new name is for the child of God. It talks about this white stone. You and I will be as what we've been washed as white as snow. We are the overcomers when we get to heaven. Hey, the angels are going to look at us and say, you're one of those that Jesus saved, aren't you? And so, the Bible says somebody's getting a new name. I'm not shocked at that. If you remember, Saul, the man named Saul in the New Testament, he was a wicked man. And when God saved him, he gave him a new name, the name of Paul. Then you'll find out in Genesis 32:28, a fellow by the name of Jacob. God said, we're not going to call you Jacob anymore. We're going to call you Israel. So God had chosen to change those names. Hey, wonder if when we get to heaven, God decides he's going to rename us. Now, most of us, we receive a name at birth, and then we live with that name. But I know many a man that's been named Daniel that couldn't have standed, they couldn't handle the lion's den. And there are many that have been named after Paul, but they were not righteous men as Paul was. There were those that are called Stephen that were not martyr material. But in this case, we may, if this is you and I, if it's you and I that are going to get new names someday in heaven, we're going to be named after our life. Instead of at the beginning of our life. Well, I wonder if it's possible that your new name will be based on how you lived. I wonder if it's possible if your new name will be based on your Christianity. I wonder, is it possible that your new name will be based on your character? Is it possible that your new name will be based on your attitude? When we die, we will be remembered for the way that we lived, possibly. If the real you was summed up in one phrase, how would you be described? Good. If we put one phrase on your tombstone that describes you, what would that phrase be? If your eulogy were one phrase, and we're going to read it tonight, what would it be? What would we say at your funeral? If you were named in heaven on how you serve God, what would they call you? What would your title be? Have you ever heard someone say, You're making a name for yourself. You're making a name for yourself. Folks, do you all realize we're making a name for ourselves? And more important than I'm making a name for myself with you, or you're making a name for yourself with me, we're all making a name for ourselves with God. We're all making a name for ourselves, both here and in heaven. And I don't know exactly what's being taught here in the book of Revelation, but I do know somebody is getting a new name when they get to heaven. And I wonder if that new name will be indicative or a reflection of what we did and how we behaved ourselves while we lived down here. Let me give you a few folks in history who I think had a good name, or their name is easily summed up with their behavior. For instance, I think of Jesus Christ. John 8:29, it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I'll tell you something. If you wanted to put something on the tombstone, and just so you know, no need for a tombstone for Jesus because he's not there. But if you were going to put something on his tombstone, wouldn't it be wonderful? It could be placed there on Jesus' tombstone. He always did those things that please God. Wouldn't it be something if you died and somebody could preach a funeral sermon at your funeral and the text was about, she always did those things that pleased God. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, it is said of Jesus that he went about doing good. Wow. Wouldn't it be something if you and I could have a one-sentence eulogy that said of us, she went about doing good. He went about doing good. Wonder if we get to heaven and we're renamed, but this time we have earned the name that's assigned to us. So often we're assigned a name when we're born, and that name probably was picked because the name was a name that was revered somehow. But sometimes we mess up that name. One day there's this chance. If this scripture's teaching that when we get to heaven, we're going to be renamed, I'll just guess that we will be renamed based on the name that we have built for ourselves. But what a name, Jesus Christ. He always pleased God. He went about doing good. I think of Moses. In Deuteronomy 34:5, it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. The Bible also says in Deuteronomy 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. I love this. I think the thing that I think of most when I think of Moses is the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Hey, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if that's how God described you, my servant? I think that's what the Christian life is all about. Jesus Christ, He always pleased God. Jesus Christ, He went about doing good. What a name! What a name! And now we look to this man named Moses, and God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's better than the name Moses. Call me, my servant. Call Jesus, the one that went about doing good. Then I got to thinking about a man in the New Testament. His name is Demas. Demas. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Huh. Wouldn't you hate the thought that when you were named in heaven, that the quality or that summed up your life, that you would be remembered as the one who forsook God or forsook the program of God or forsook the man of God. That's what Paul said. Paul said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'd hate for that to be my testimony. I'd hate for that to be my eulogy. I kind of like the idea of that eulogy of Jesus Christ. He always pleased God. I like that one. He went about doing good. I like the one about Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Then I think of Abraham. Abraham. In James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There are two descriptions there that fit Abraham so well. It says that Abraham believed God. And if you know anything about the history of Abraham, we can describe Abraham as the one that believed God. Oh my, wouldn't that be a compliment? Wouldn't it be something if we got to heaven someday and God said, okay, up here, like I renamed Saul Paul, and like I named Jacob Israel, I'm giving you a new name. I gave you a new body. I've given you a new life. I've given you a new home. And I'm going to give you a new name. And the way, you know what, I just think I'm going to, you believed me. Your name is going to reflect the fact that you had faith in God. What a compliment. What a compliment. But wait, also about Abraham, it says, and he was called the friend of God. Oh my. I'd like for someone to say, you know what, that guy right there, he's a friend of God. He's a friend of God. Not God is his friend. You see, God's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But don't you think God needs somebody to be a friend to him? Don't you think God needs somebody that will stick with him through thick and thin? Don't you think that God needs somebody that will love him unconditionally? Wouldn't it be something if we got to heaven and God said, your name is going to be defined as the friend of God? But not only Abraham, I think of David. David in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Oh my. There's two descriptions right there that are awful powerful. Awful powerful. Hey, David, it is said, God said, that man right there is a man after mine own heart. What a compliment. What a powerful statement to be made. What a description to be placed on a man's life. And then there's a second description here that is just as complimentary. And it says, which shall fulfill all my will. Oh, goodness. What a pleasant thought that God would say, the name that I give you is going to be a name that points out the fact that you wanted to fulfill all my will. Not very many people want to fulfill all God's will. We're willing to give Him a little bit of our time and a little bit of our life, but fulfill all His will? Oh, I like that. I like the name of Jesus Christ and that eulogy. He always pleased God. He went about doing good. Moses, my servant. But wait, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Abraham, who is Abraham? Abraham, he believed God. Who is Abraham? He's called the friend of God. Then David, oh, it's a wonderful thing. David, a man after God's own heart. Or David, the one that shall fulfill all my will. Then I think of the poor widow. She's known so well of the widow and her mites. In Luke chapter 21, verse number 4, it says, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." I think I would be able to say about her, she gave more than them all. She gave more than them all. Who was it? Just a poor widow. You could write on her tombstone, "The poor widow that gave more than everybody else." Hey, since giving is such a big deal in God's economy, I would say that would be quite a compliment to her. You know something? I've got a feeling. That widow had a name. But I don't know what her name is. Not listed in the Bible. Do you know what God has chosen? God has chosen that you and I know of her as a poor widow that outgave everybody. When you get to heaven, you say, "I'm going to look up that widow." I've got a feeling you can get to heaven, and you might even know her name. Maybe her name's Agatha. You get up to heaven and say, "Where's Agatha?" They're going to say, "Who are you talking about?" "I'm talking about the poor widow that outgave them all." They said, "Oh, we know who that is." Why? Because her behavior is what really caused people to recognize her. And just so you know, our behavior is what causes people to recognize us. I think of Mark in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee." Listen to this. "For he is profitable to me for the ministry." That's a compliment.
Yes, sir.
It is said here that I need Mark. Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. You know something? If that were written on the brochure that was handed out at your funeral, that sure would be a powerful statement. She was profitable to the ministry. He was profitable to the ministry. Not he profited because of the ministry. He was profitable to the ministry. It wasn't always come to church to see what I can get. It was I went to church to see what I could give. He was known for being profitable to God. Wow, what a compliment. Then I got to thinking about Luke. Using the very same verse, we see Luke. 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to the ministry." But listen to those words, "Only Luke is with me." I like that. He was loyal. It's obvious. Others had forsaken, and here, Luke, he hung in there. Luke stuck with it when the going got tough. Luke stuck with it when Christianity wasn't as popular. Luke stuck with it when others forsook and others went home and others quit and others didn't want to be involved in the old time religion. Others didn't want to risk their life possibly to go through being arrested for standing for Jesus Christ. And it is said, "Only Luke is with me." Now I'll tell you something. When the chips are down, wouldn't it be wonderful if you were standing there and you were with Jesus and Jesus was able to tell everybody, "You know what? Here's the guy that stuck with me right here. Here's the one that stood with me. Here's the one that stood with me through thick and thin." That's a compliment to me. I think that's a wonderful thing. Then I get to thinking about Enoch. Enoch, the Old Testament saint named Enoch. And Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24 says, "And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." Hey, wouldn't it be something if you got to heaven and God said, "Everybody up here is going to get a new name. I gave you a new body. I gave you a new life. I gave you a new home. I gave you a new location. I've got you all fixed up. I think I'll give you a new name. And you know what? Your name's going to be, you walked with God. You walked with God." I think people in heaven know Enoch as the one who walked with God. He walked with God. Hey, who's that over there? That's the man that walked with God. Who's that man right back there sitting in the congregation of the righteous? Oh, that's the guy that walked with God. That's old Enoch. What a compliment. What a compliment. Then I got to thinking about Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, "For as much as an excellent spirit." You see it said two or three times in the book of Daniel about Daniel. Daniel was labeled for his attitude, and it was a good attitude. Daniel was labeled for his spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit now. We're talking about the spirit of Daniel. We're talking about Daniel's attitude. We're talking about Daniel's outlook and the way he controlled his emotions and the way he behaved toward God and the way he behaved toward people. What a big deal. Wouldn't it be something if you got to heaven and God said, I'm going to give you a name, and I think I'm going to give you the name, the one of an excellent spirit. The one with a good attitude. The one that was excellent in their emotional behavior. And I got to thinking about the centurion found in Matthew chapter 8. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10, it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. I've looked at that verse time and time again. This centurion, I won't go into the whole story. That's not the purpose of the sermon. But Jesus looked at this centurion and he says, I have not found so great faith in the entire country. Again, when that guy got to heaven, if they gave him a new name, he's the guy with so great faith. It's not just faith. So great faith. For God so loved the world. How so? Bigger than you could ever imagine. Jesus said, I've looked all across the country and I've never seen such great faith. Boy, that guy built a name for himself. That man right there, his behavior toward God and his faith in God, he is deemed the one of so great faith. Then I got to thinking about Job. Job chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, that word there means he hated evil. He feared God and he hated evil. Again, what a testimony. What a testimony. I think of Thomas, though. You all know about Thomas. We call him Thomas the what? Doubter. So it looks like he built a name for himself, too, huh? John chapter 20, verse 25, it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There's Thomas the Doubter. I wouldn't want to get a name like that. I wouldn't want to be called Thomas the Doubter. I wouldn't want that. Be careful now. We might be building a name for ourselves. Matter of fact, we are building a name for ourselves here on earth. But wonder if we're renamed in heaven. Not like when you were a baby and you just came forth from your mother's body and they went to a baby book and found a name that they admired because of qualities of others that have been named that name and they pinned that name on you. This is a name very possibly that you get after death. Not at the beginning of life. Which would mean probably there'll be a sum total of what you have accomplished, what you are, and how God saw you. If you're given a new name, I don't think it'll be a random name. I think it'll be a depicted name. It'll be a name that depicts what you were. I think of Jeremiah in the Bible. We call him the what? The weeping prophet. Why? He wept. He lamented. His heart was broken for the people and broken because of the sin and the heartache of his day. Eliezer, the Bible says, his hand clave to the sword. He had been at battle fighting for right, and he had wrapped his hand around the sword, and at the end of the day, he had fought so hard that he couldn't even pry the sword out of his hand. He said, I don't carry a sword. What do you think this thing is? The old King James Bible. Wrap your hand around it. Let your hand cling to the sword. Wrap your hand around it. Don't deny it. Stand for it. Hey, then we have Judas. How sad. Judas, we all know him. Nobody names their children Judas. They'll name their children Jeremiah. They'll name their children John. They'll name their children Peter. Nobody. Nobody names their children Judas. Why? Such a terrible name. The betrayer. The disloyal one. The faker. That's too bad. I got to thinking. Not only do we see in the Bible those that had names and built names for themselves, and we see how they might be described. Wait, you might get to heaven and find out that they don't call Jeremiah up there. God might say, "Who's that?" He'll say, "That's a weeping prophet." We'll all say, "I know who that is. I know who that is. I know his testimony. I know about him." Then you look over and you'll see Thomas, and they'll say, "That's old Thomas." They'll say, "Well, he's got a new name. He's a doubter." Wouldn't that be sad? Hey, I've thought of some other people in history and how they might be remembered. I think in heaven, if they were going to name Dr. John R. Rice, they'd probably say, "Hey, right there's the founder and editor of the Sword of the Lord." Think in our generation. What do most people know about Dr. John R. Rice? Sword of the Lord. I think on Dr. Heil's tombstone is Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3, says, "The soul winner. The soul winner." David Livingston said, "Bury my heart on the mission field." Lester Roloff, I really believe if you put three words on a tombstone, you might as well put "living by faith." Living by faith. Why? We knew. Brother Roloff believed in living by faith. He sang about living by faith. He taught about living by faith. He lived by faith. I don't know if we'll get to heaven and God will rename Lester Roloff. Hey, right there's the man. Well, who is that? That's the one that's known for living by faith. And I believe this. Most of you that have been in fundamentalism any time at all, if you got to heaven, you pointed and looked over at somebody and said, "Who's that?" And they said, "Well, that's the fellow that's known for living by faith." You'd say, "Well, is it Abraham or Roloff? Which one is it?" Because I think we know of the testimony and the name that people have built for themselves with their behavior. I think of Dr. Lee Robertson. Time I heard him quote it, "Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership." Dr. Ford Porter. I believe many of you say, "Well, who's Dr. Ford Porter?" How many of you have ever heard of the gospel tract called God's Simple Plan of Salvation? Raise your hand. Probably the most powerful and the most used gospel tract still in the world today. You might not even know who Dr. Ford Porter is, but you know about God's Simple Plan of Salvation. We may get to heaven, they won't even call him Dr. Porter. They might say, "Right there, that's the guy that wrote the most famous gospel tract used in the world during certain generations called God's Simple Plan of Salvation." I think this. Brother Tennis. I think this. I think you get to heaven, you might say, "Where's that Tom Tennis guy?" They'll say, "Oh, you mean the one that was the best soul winner in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Him? Yeah. Yeah. That's him. Right there he is. The best soul winner in the church." What a compliment. Especially a church like this one with all the souls that are saved. And such a big deal that we make about heaven and the reality of hell. What a compliment. How would you be described if you died today? How would God describe you? Will we write on the tombstone, "Never really got involved"? Wishy-washy. How would those that know you best describe you? How would you like to be described? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go to work on it then. Because if you're still alive, it's not too late. Look what Saul had, a terrible name. He gets saved and he tears into the Christian life, and God said, "I'm going to rename that guy." You say, "I built a bad name for myself with God." You're still alive. That means you still have a crack at doing something about that name. Fix it. Change it. The Scripture says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written." I don't know who it is, but I've got an idea. These are children of God. And for some reason, God has given them a new name. What will your new name be? It will be what you have become, or what you were. Just seems like that's what God's way of thinking. Let's bow our heads.